Craig, where is Jeff Ford here? So when I was, a lot of people have given me some advice, and Jeff said when he came in, he said, start with a joke, end strong, and make those two as close as possible. I like that. So I had an experience that I wanted to share. This is not a sermon. It's really just a witness. And the witness I call 2.0, who do you say that I am? So my background is in software. How many of you are familiar with the concept 2.0? Right. So it represents the next version, right? 2.0 are the bug fixes in version 1. The errors in the code, they get fixed. In essence, for people who are not familiar with the 2.0, it's a do-over. How many people, when you were a little kid, you had this contentious point, and people had a do-over? Or if you prefer, it's a reset. So my 2.0 conversion came about a year ago when Sue gave me two children for Father's Day. I was kind of open for a tie. So the call comes something like this. Honey, and how many know? You know you're in trouble when the phone call goes, honey. I was like, oh, gosh. Or God. So she said, what do you think about having kids? More kids? And I said, when? And she said, 5 o'clock. Someone's coming at 11 o'clock to do a house visit. Cancel your golf lessons and go to Walmarto and pick up some Pampers. So, true story. So, little did I know that this would be my 2.0 conversion. Sue knew the right thing to do. She never wavered. She is the doer, I'm the talker. She saw kids in need, and she instantly took them in. I, on the other hand, struggled. I worried. I said, oh my God, I'm about this close to retirement. Now I'm going to retire when I'm 70. We just finished paying all the kids' colleges. I kept asking God if this is really what he wanted. And of course, I'm a little dull because he kept shouting, yes. So I literally heard the Good Samaritan, not once, not twice, but 3 times in a very short period of having the kids come into our house. And if any of you guys know about the liturgy, that's almost impossible, right? It's supposed to take a couple of years. And the 3rd time I heard the Good Samaritan was on the Sunday of ASP, and I ended up going to 2 services. This is how much I needed to hear God. I went to 2 services. The first one in the morning, the preacher came in and said the Good Samaritan, which is sort of natural because it was a mission piece. But then I took the Catholic kids to the Catholic service and heard the words from Mark. And this is where God says, a prophet's never recognized in their hometown. And he just said this one word, and he was amazed at their disbelief. So if you ever see even this witness or Pastor John's witness, they're never short. This priest literally got up, said 2 sentences, and sat down. He said, he was amazed at their disbelief. He was amazed at their disbelief, and he sat down. I swear to God, he was looking right at me. He said, I am amazed at your disbelief. Gave you the Good Samaritan 3 times. Instantly, I knew that this was God's calling. I had a peace and a clarity that was just amazing. My anxiety was gone. And so when I think about this, that's really my 2.0. 2.0 is when we let God be God and we actually put our faith that he has a plan for us. And I'm 50 and I've always struggled with that. And that little witness is really a witness about my life, which is I've always had the plan. It's my family. It's my career. I've always brought religion. I've always been religious. But the question is, have I really turned things over to let God be the driver? And I would prefer to be in control. I would prefer to be in control and be religious. I heard a great sermon, and the person was saying that basically 1.0 is about being religious, and there are many people who are religious. You say your prayers, you go to church, you do mission, you say the Our Fathers, novenas, but you determine when you do that. And that was really me, self-indictment. And 2.0 is when you actually have a relationship with God, and then He determines when you do those things. And when that happens, there is this amazing peace and tranquility that you receive that you don't have when you're driving the bus, when you are that 1.0. So Sue's Father's Day present was really a blessing, was an opportunity for me at 50 years older to do a do-over, to do like the family again, and do it in a 2.0, do it with God driving the bus. And so that really comes down to this idea of who do you say that I am? And I love this passage. Sue, I don't know if we have the pictures of Israel, but Sue and I had an opportunity to go to Israel. And it's just amazing when you walk where Jesus walked. So we were on the Sea of Galilee. We're in a boat. We're on, you know, the Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, I don't know if anyone knows. It's actually not a sea. It's a lake. It's a freshwater lake. It's about 14 miles long. It's like half the size of Lake Winnipesaukee. So beautiful, peaceful. What you'll notice, though, is there's no development. It almost looks like it does 2,000 years ago, and all of that sort of pinkish is rock. Without water, most of the area around Israel is just rock, 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 nothing, no trees. So when he talks about going to this mountain, it's not a mountain. It's basically a big pile of rocks. So if you can go back to the other one, which had the altar, yes. So our guide said, why would Jesus bring his disciples? This was a relatively big trek from with an air-conditioned bus to this mountain to walk up. We're all hot. We're drinking water. Why would he bring all the disciples from a nice lake where he could be having a glass of wine to say, who do you think I am? And trek them all the way up to this rock. Well, if you go to the next slide, this rock had all these different temples. Temples to Pan. All the different temples to the modern Greek gods. So Jesus brought them up to this huge rock and said, who am I? They said, you're God. He says, okay, great. So which God am I? And if I'm God, like, am I a bigger God? Am I a smaller God? What kind of rock temple are you going to build with me? So it was really practical. And then Jesus says, no rock temple. I'm going to build my temple in you. You're going to be my rock. You're going to go out and you are going to bring heaven to earth. And no need for that temple. What's amazing is if you go online and look at this, it's just rubble. There's no hotels, there's no nothing. All of these amazing temples are just crumbled rock, and there was a earthquake that ruined everything. So when you think about that question of who do you say that I am, if you really say God is God, then there's this next piece which says, He actually wants to be in the driver's seat. And He wants us to be His hands and feet. That funnel thing, I don't know why He picked us to be a funnel. I would think He'd do a much better job of just pouring that water out Himself. I don't know why He picks me as the funnel. My wife will tell you I'm seriously flawed. But He does. He comes to this world through us. And so now, This 2.0 is really a profound change for me. I am not worried about where the kids... My big worry is, where are the kids going to go to college? I'm sure, God willing, these kids will be with us, and God willing, they're going to go to college, right? Both Sue and I went to BC. None of our kids went to BC. But they went to the right college. I was always worried about sports. We were blessed to be in 2 state championships. I can't even remember the teams that we played. It's so inconsequential. Always worried about who they were going to date. Who are they going to date? Are they going to get married? Who are they going to marry? 2.0, I'm not worried about these things because I believe that God has a plan that is so much larger than my plan. And when we think about faith, I heard this great thing, which is the lack of faith or the opposite of faith is not atheism. It's anxiety. And I was always a little condemned because I'm kind of an anxious person. I always worry about things. I feel like it's my responsibility to either fix things or to provide to make sure that those things are happening. How many people worry about their number, the number for retirement? I always worry about that. So really, if you have faith, you don't have anxiety. And 2.0 for me has been this amazing wash where anxiety is gone. And so I don't worry about these things. You know, Augustine says that we will be restless unless we rest with God. And there is this sense of peace that I never felt. And probably because I was driving my plan versus God's plan. And being in God's plan, there is this clarity and sense of serenity that I'd struggled with. And one thing is, you don't have to wait till you're 50. That's a long time. So I heard it another way, which said that we're all built with a vacuum, and that vacuum will be filled with something, and we will not be satisfied unless it is filled with the peace of God. And if you think about the fruits of God, they're all things we can't bring to ourselves: love, peace, self-control, joy. And it's our relationship with God that gives us those things which are so invaluable. So again, I just leave on the point, which is you don't have to wait till 50 to be 2.0. That's a long time for a next version of software if you're in the software world. And that if you say Jesus is God, then listen to him because he's saying, move over. Let me take the wheel and I have an amazing adventure for you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to segue right to our prayer time. And just, I know we have many prayers we want to lift up. But I extend what John said as an invitation. So you might be at a place where you're ready to give your life to God or surrender. Talk to John, talk to myself, talk to somebody here in the church. Don't get to that point and then you back away again. Let John's testimony help you surrender and trust. Trust in God's plan today. Amen. So